Welcome to Batty to Batty, a monthly podcast by For the Breast of Us, the first breast cancer community for all women of color, where we share real-life experiences, information, and education to help you live your best life after a breast cancer diagnosis. Welcome to Batty to Batty. Welcome to Batty to Batty. Hey girl, hey. My name is Tisha, and I am a breast cancer survivor and a baddie volunteer here at For the Breast of Us, a community for women of color that has been impacted by breast cancer. And today I am here with Miss Morgan, or Dr. Morgan rather, who is a breast cancer survivor as well as a patient advocate. Hi, Dr. Morgan.
Hi, Tisha. How are you?
Hi. Well, thank you. And thank you for coming on today. So before we get started, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Well, as you so lovely introduced me, I'm Dr. Morgan Mitchell, or Morgan, whichever you like to choose. I am a PhD biochemist and a professor. Cancer researcher and life science product manager. I currently am a professor at a medical school here in the Houston area. And I'm passionate about education. I'm a lifelong student. I've been in school my whole life. So I really appreciate education, awareness, and just having these conversations. You know, it started a really a divine intervention is what I call it. I just happened to be, changing into my nighttime wear one night in the summer of 2020. And I just happened to brush across my breast and I felt something and I said, oh, that's weird. And I just didn't think anything of it. I shrugged it off. The next night, again, divinely inspired intervention happened, and the same thing happened. I said, And so I went into my mother's bedroom. I had her feel it, and she said, yeah, there's something there. Make an appointment with your OBGYN. Now, I want to stress this fact that this was, at the beginning of COVID. We were on lockdown. People were dropping like flies. It was chaotic. Everybody, we didn't know what to do, right? And I want to say that because we were at such a standstill, again, that's God himself, because if I had been busy doing my normal day-to-day life, I would have shrugged it off completely. And because of that, I might not be here right now.
Well, we are so thankful that you were obedient, first of all. Your story is actually a little similar to mine. So I'm a 9-year breast cancer survivor, and I found my lump. Thank you.
And I congrats.
I found my lump the same as you. I was actually doing Zumba that afternoon, and it brushed up, and my arm brushed up against my breast, and I felt a lump and called my mother. My mom said the same thing, call your doctor. So did that. And that's where my journey began. So today we are going to be talking about healthcare advocacy. And we know that as women of color, there is a lot of power when we collectively and actively advocate for ourselves and for our community. How important is that? Talk to me a little bit about how important do you think advocacy in the African American community and for people of color? How important is that to be able to have that knowledge and be able to just be more proactive with our health?
Tisha, this is increasingly becoming a popular topic in terms of healthcare mm-hmm. and illness mm-hmm. And disease. And I'm so happy about that because it is almost the most important thing. As the pandemic happened, you know, mm-hmm. we learned a lot about ourselves, our self-care. Self-care has become increasingly popular. Mm-hmm. And again, I am excited about this. Now, I feel as though it may be more so of a struggle for African-American women just because of our history mm-hmm. And cultural boundaries. Yeah. You know, I when I first got diagnosed, you know, I'm a very open person. When I first got diagnosed, I put it on social media. My mom was not happy about this. Mm-hmm. She was saying, you know, this is private. This is a health matter. You need to keep it in the house. And that's mm-hmm. how she was raised. And she was raised by a nurse. Mm-hmm. And it was still these cultural generations of these cultural traditions and just how we were raised, you know, generation after generation after generation. My mom, you know, does what her mom taught her. And right. my grandmother does what her mom taught her. Right.
Absolutely.
And she was raised. You do not talk about health outside of the home. You That's do right. not talk about illness. If someone passed, you do not ask how. That's seen as disrespectful.
Right.
It's seen as, why is she all up in our business? She mm-hmm. needs to mind her own business. And so all of these things make a very large difference in the way that African Americans, and especially African American women, sort of deal with their health and sort of deal with, you know, what they're going to choose to say to people and what they're not, mm-hmm. You know, who they are going to allow to help them and who they're not. And it's a very, very, very difficult thing for African-American women, just because, again, we put, you know, we're the head of the household. You know, we are right. we put everybody, literally everybody, in front of us, except for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say that you have to take care of you, because if you are not okay, nobody else is going to be okay. You That's have to cool. take care of yourself yeah. first, just like right. when you're in the plane, right? Put your oxygen mask on first, and then tend to your children and your passengers and people next to you. There's a reason why they say that. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to be okay in order to make sure everyone else is okay.
Absolutely. And you hit on so many points, so many things that, like you said, in the African American community, it is cultural that we don't talk about illness. We don't talk about family history. And that is so important to know what our family members that have gone before us, what medical issues or what challenges they had, because if we know that, then we can take the necessary precautions and steps to stay on top of our health. A lot of times we don't find out about a illness or something until we get it. And then mom or grandma say, well, you know, your aunt, your great aunt or your aunt had this. Well, mom, I didn't know.
Right.
If you had told me, then I would have known to, okay, well, I know that aunt so-and-so had breast cancer. I need to make sure that I need to tell my doctor so that they can make the necessary, take the necessary steps so I can start being on top of my health. But we don't talk about that. And we got to get out of that mindset, because like you said, in order for us, because we take care of everybody, but ourselves first, and we have us first before we can take care of everybody else. So you hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yes. And let me say, and everything that you're saying is correct. And let me also say that, Yes, what you're saying is we have to get out of this, right? Because we're literally killing ourselves. Yeah. I have met so many people who have had breast cancer and they did not tell anybody, not even their children, not even their parents. And they went through it alone. I've had so many people, you know, close family members, you know, have had a person die. And they say, I don't know what they died from. It is so imperative that the relatives, at least the relatives, need to know what the person has died from and what illnesses they have been dealt, so that their children and their children's children and children's children can be around, right? We can look out for this before we get diagnosed and suffer the same fate.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important for us to become advocates of our own health, because there's not a lot of representation of women of color, and especially in the breast cancer community. There's not a lot of representation of us. So we need to be advocates so that we can have that representation, so that we can get better healthcare access, so we can get the research that needs to be researched and get the data that needs to be gotten, so that we can have better treatments when it comes down to women of color being diagnosed with breast cancer. Yes. But one thing that people, a misconception that people have about advocacy work and becoming an advocate, that it doesn't have to be scary. You can start with right. And that you don't have to have all of these political connections and know all these people up in Congress and the White House or whatnot. You can just start by sharing your own story.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that I did when I finished my treatment. I just started by sharing my story and you can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Tisha, I think that's so poignant and important what you said. A lot of people do relate advocacy to something political.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. That's not what we're talking about here.
Not at all.
And also, a lot of people think, okay, to be an advocate, I have to do something huge. I have to write to my congressman, or I have to organize a walk or something like big. Yeah. And that is not the case. Small acts add up to so much greater things.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it doesn't take much, you know, if you just give, you know, just a small portion of your time, you will be reaching so, so many more people. And absolutely. The term advocate, you know, there's no distinct definition in terms of that. You can be an advocate in so many ways. You
absolutely.
Can be an advocate and you don't even have to tell them. No one has to know. You can be anonymous, you know. And yep. again, just small acts add up to so much greater yes. good for our community. If we had just so many more people doing small things, oh my God, we can move mountains in terms absolutely. Of breast cancer.
I mean, just sharing with your family, just sharing what you're going through with your family so that they could have the knowledge of, okay, well, this is what Tisha went through, or I mean, this is what Morgan went through. So Morgan's telling me that, you know, it's important that I make sure I get my regular screenings every month or every year. Make sure that each month I'm checking my breasts. Because I know for me, that was one thing that I'll be the first to say I was guilty. I did not do it every month. And now that I've gotten breast cancer and I'm in remission, I make sure that, you know, I'm a little more vigilant now about checking myself each month. But that's something that, you know, something so small, like you said, is that, you know, when you're in the shower.
Yeah. And again, Tisha, this is part of my charge because, you know, a 5-minute self-exam that you only have to do once a month can literally be the decision between life and death.
Yes.
Literally. It is so powerful. Absolutely. It is so important. And also, you know, I'm here to spread the word. You know, I don't have a family history of breast cancer. Mm-hmm. It was not on my radar at all. I was too young for self-exams and mammograms, you know. And again, just like you, you know, it just happened. We just happened to look up and be fortunate and run across something. Yeah. But think about all the people who are not as fortunate as you and I.
Right.
Think of all the people who, you know, were too late, who caught it too late. And again, you know, literally 5 minutes, you can take 5 minutes once a month and do something that can really, really be the difference between whether you are here or whether you are not here. And I am also part of an alarming and rapidly growing statistic of women under 40 who have no family history of breast cancer and no mutation. So that means we have to be even more vigilant.
Right.
That means we have to spread the word even more so, because guess what? You know, it's up to us to save our culture. Nobody's going to come in here and save Black women. Black women have to save Black women.
We have to save ourselves.
We have to save ourselves. And that's why advocacy is so important. It's not just about yourself. It's about us. It's about it's about us being here for the long term. I want you to survive, Tisha. I want my sisters to survive. I want my community to survive. I want my family to survive. And that means we have to be here in order to do
so,
right?
In order to do
so. We have so much more greater things that we have to do. And, you know, I don't know how else to say this, but Black people are magic. And we really are, because when you think about all the things that we have endured and we're still here. I mean, come on. Like,
we are a resilient people. We are magic. We are wonderful and a beautiful people.
We are. And we want to continue that. And so that means we have to put in just a little bit of work can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Yes. And for those that are listening, you don't have to do something big in order to advocate. Sharing your story, that's advocacy work. You're advocating. Sharing with family and friends. And if you get to a point where you are, you may get invited to, you know, be a speaker at an event or at a church or at a community center, you're advocating. And one thing that you know, for the rest of us, they provide resources for you to, you know, if you want to get started advocating for not only yourself, but for others, they have resources that can help you, workshops, you know, online platforms that can, toolkits that can help you to get started. So there is information out there that can help you, you know, if you just need that little push. But just start with something small, because like you said, Morgan, we want to be around.
Tisha.
A long time.
Yes, because, Tisha,
Sad, you know, the sad reality is that, you know, women of color are diagnosed at later stages of breast cancer. And the sad reality is when we are diagnosed at later stages, you know, the outcomes are not as hopeful as we want it to be. And in order for us to bridge that gap, because 40% of women of color die at a higher rate than other communities. And that's, I don't know about you, that's a big number.
That is a huge number, right? That is a very large number.
We need to do whatever it takes to advocate for ourselves so we can shrink that number down.
And Tisha, let me just say something. Sharing your story, I think, you know, speaks volumes, but I would like to also say that you don't have to do so, right? I mean, a lot of people are private about their health for various reasons. That's okay.
Absolutely.
You don't have to speak about it. That's okay. There are other ways that you can advocate, right? There's so many ways you can be, you know, a pen pal and write, you know, motivational, you know, sentences or notes to people.
I like that.
I mean, you could, you know, just be someone who, you know, I know so-and-so got diagnosed. I'm just going to cook them a meal and bring the meal over.
Yep.
You know, I know so-and-so got diagnosed. I'm just going to ask her, you know, does she want to go and get her nails done and pick her up, you know, and make the appointment, pick her up and take her there. You know, I know so-and-so got diagnosed. I'm going to ask, you know, if I can babysit her kids for a few hours. Right. All of these things are advocacy.
Absolutely.
All of these things are doing the work. Mm-hmm. And these practical things, like you said, these practical things speak so many volumes and they are so helpful. Never think that what you're doing is too small or too insignificant. To a person that has heard the words, you have cancer, that is everything. A meal is everything.
Everything.
Right? Because we're too tired to cook.
Absolutely.
You making a nail appointment and taking me, that is everything because I'm too tired to do so.
Yeah. And then with that, you not only that, but then your body, you're going through, you're stressed because your mind is, you're focusing on trying to get better. And a lot of all you want is normalcy.
And
if you have someone that's coming that says, "Hey, Tisha, you know what? Let's go get something to eat." Or you know what? Like you said, I made a nail appointment for you. Let's go get our nails done.
Exactly.
They have no idea how huge that is.
Exactly. Exactly. If you say, "Hey, I'm gonna clean the kitchen for you tonight,"
well, you done said something.
Is that because not music to your ears?
We don't have the energy to do that.
Yes, exactly.
We're not worrying about how the house looks.
Exactly.
Our mind is focused on, Lord, please let me live. Please get me the treatment that I need so that I can get better. That's
Tisha,
all we're
talking about. You have said so much in that, and I'm glad that you said that. I think another part of advocacy is, you know, I've heard recently, you are your own best advocate. Now, yes and no, right? I want to be realistic and transparent, right? Okay. I'm a real person and I'm a real patient. And you are too, Tisha. And we have, you know, real things that we're up against, right? I want to caution that, yes, you do need to advocate for yourself. Yes, you do need to speak up for yourself. Definitely. But are you your best advocate? And what you just said really, really touched on my point. And I'm so glad that you said that. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be the CEO of Amazon or whatever. Mm-hmm. When you hear the words, you have cancer, that is very, very heavy.
Yes.
And your mind goes to death. Your mind goes to funeral service arrangements. Mm-hmm. Your mind goes to, is my family going to be okay? Is my spouse going to be okay? Are my children going to be okay? Are my grandchildren going to be okay? Your mind goes to work. Like, how am I going to be able to work and gain income? Your mind goes to bills. How am I going to be able to pay for treatment? Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So I want to strongly suggest that, yes, you should be your own advocate, but you should not be your sole advocate because, again, you have so much on you.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear that those words, that diagnosis, that is very traumatic.
Mm-hmm.
That is life changing.
It is.
And you are in shock.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it runs in your family. I don't care if you're sixth generation. I don't care if you're 85 years old. when you're hit with a diagnosis, you have so much on your shoulders.
Absolutely.
And I want to strongly suggest that, especially in those initial appointments, that you bring a trusted person with you.
Yes.
But also bring a person who, for example, I brought my brother with me. He's an engineer. He's an aerospace engineer. He's very logical and very solutions oriented. Okay. Right. So he's like, what do we need to do? When do we need to do it? Uh-huh. And how are we going to do it? Right. I did not bring my mom to those initial appointments because she is, and I hate to use these words because I hate when people say that women are too emotional, but me and my mom are both, you know, we're more so emotional, you know, than my brother. Instead, my mom was taking care of home. That's her skill set. She was buying groceries. She was getting meals prepared. She was getting the blanket. She was getting the water. She, you know, that's her skill set. Right. So I brought someone along who, again, I'm a PhD scientist. And when you hear those words, you know, cancer doesn't care what degree you have or whatever.
That goes out the window because all you hear is cancer.
Exactly. And you're in shock. And that is, and people don't understand that even though, I mean, you can say, oh, I'm strong, but subconsciously and psychologically, your body does things that may or may not be in your control.
Yeah.
You may blank out and not even realize it.
Exactly.
I'm a scientist. Yeah. And when those words were spoken to me, And I've said this before, you know, my medical team, my doctors, they were talking to me. Their mouths were moving, but I wasn't really.
I couldn't hear anything.
No, I couldn't catch what they were saying. And that's why it's so important to have that advocate. My brother was the one who talked to family members and collected questions and wrote the questions down so that when we had that initial appointment, we had those questions already ready. He came with this notebook and pen. He was the scribe and the note taker.
Yeah.
That is so important.
You really touched it. That is so important to have somebody there with you when you are going to all these appointments. But the importance of being in a support group, you know, because you don't want to go through this alone. You want to, and the importance of having, of being in a support group, because you can talk and you can talk with those that have gone through it. You can ask the questions that you didn't think of when you were at the doctor's office, that you can share it with someone that has gone through it. And they can say, well, oh, you know what, this is what I did. These are the things that I did that when I was experiencing this, and this, maybe this can work for you.
And that's so important because I have been in settings where, you know, again, everybody has a different way of dealing with it. Some people are very private, scared, introverted, not ready, you know, and when they get into these support groups and they hear people who are in their exact position speak about what they're going through, how they feel, you know, tips and advice. And these people are blown away because a lot of times, you know, and I say this and it's not taken lightly, but I guarantee you, you are not the only person on the planet feeling how you feel.
Exactly.
There's at least one other person that feels the same way.
Yep.
And it's so therapeutic when you connect with these people because they understand you on a level that other people may not understand you.
Right.
You know, being a cancer patient, you know, people who don't have cancer can only say so much to me.
Right.
Right. You're going to hit a wall. You're going to hit a boundary with me because you don't know what I'm going through.
Right.
I appreciate everything you're doing. I appreciate the love. I appreciate you being there. But the reality is that you don't know what I'm going through and you won't because you don't have cancer. And so therefore, I've got to talk to people who have cancer. I've got to talk to survivors. Mm-hmm. I've got to talk to people who've been in my position. I've got to talk to people who, you know, are going through chemo. I got to talk to people who've been through chemo.
Yeah.
And that is just so, that just speaks volumes when you have a community that Absolutely. You can just go to and just be like, hey, y'all, I'm sick of this. I'm hot. I need a wig and I don't know what to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, just sharing when you share your stories, when you're advocating by sharing your stories, someone who was going through that is hearing that story and they're like, oh, I didn't know that she went through that. I'm going through the same thing.
Exactly. Let me
message her, or, you know, even, you know, sharing your story on social media. I know when I was diagnosed, I shared my journey on social media, and I found support groups that helped me. And for the rest of us, I found them. It was after my treatment, but I was so glad that I found this community, because there weren't the support groups that I was in. There weren't women that looked like me. Exactly. There were older women. Yeah. Nobody. I was diagnosed at 36.
Yep.
And everyone else were older women, and I couldn't relate. But when I found, you know, for the rest of us and other, now that I'm with them, and I have other organizations that I'm a part of too, that are the target audience are, you know, young women of color. It's like, I'm so glad that these organizations are now surfacing so that these women now that are now getting diagnosed,
mm-hmm.
they have now these resources. And yes. For me, you know, like you said, when you're sharing your stories and you're having this support group, I know for me, once I was in remission, you know, this became my platform. And, you know, I created a podcast myself called Tisha's Tea Room. It's called Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer. And I use that. My
love that.
For those that are, that need to vent, or we just have chats, and it is a safe space. And know that too, for those that are listening, you know, being an advocate, you want to make it a safe space. And you want to provide support. And again, just sharing your stories, like on social media.
I love Tisha. I love how you say, I have the same experience. You know, I got diagnosed, I was 34 years old.
Wow.
Okay. When I went to chemo, I was the youngest person there always.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the support groups, I was the youngest person there.
Yeah.
And women of color, there were almost, I mean, it almost was zero. It may have been one, you know, person of color. And I really felt like, oh my God, I really am alone here. You know, those feelings are valid, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you said that, because young women, you know, in terms of a breast cancer diagnosis, that experience and that conversation looks very different than a person who is 75, has been married for 40 years. They got five kids. They got about 11 grandkids or great grandkids. You know, it's different, right? And we have to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
We have to acknowledge that, you know, it's happening to people, younger and younger. It is disproportionately, as you said, affecting Black women younger and younger. We tend to get more aggressive types of breast cancer.
Yes.
We tend to get diagnosed later in the process.
Yes.
All of these things are working against us. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just us having this conversation, and I appreciate you so much, and for the rest of us, and all the people, you know, who are volunteering, telling their testimony, people behind the scenes. As I said, no task is too small. Like, if you were the receptionist, okay, thank you for the work that you do. I appreciate that with my life.
And
us having this conversation, because, Tisha, we're young Black women. So people who are young and Black and a woman, they're going to listen to us because we look like them.
Because we look like them. Absolutely.
Right? You connect and relate to people who look like
there's
you.
There's power in the numbers. And there's power. We get together. Oh man, this is so much strength. There's so much strength.
Yes.
And just think about, you know, not only can you advocate, but you can collaborate with other organizations. You can collaborate with healthcare providers to, you know, talk about one thing that for the rest of us do. They are partnering with healthcare providers, and they're having conversations about, okay, well, you know, we need you to be more culturally sensitive to women of color when they are receiving treatment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lobbying against policies that address barriers with health, the big elephant in the room, the health insurance.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So they're vultures.
Absolutely.
We know this. We know this. It's terrible. But it's true. And again, you know, just by getting to know these different groups, there are grants, there's financial aid, there are things. I've learned ways to fill out applications to where I don't get denied from financial support. Things like this, I wouldn't know if I didn't have fellow we call each other breasties, you know.
Yes, you are my best friend now.
Yes, as a term of endearment. But if it wasn't for my breasties, I wouldn't have this knowledge, you know. I wouldn't be able to partake in these opportunities.
Yeah.
And that's important. And it's not to be taken lightly, you know. It's important.
Yeah. And lastly, one thing that you mentioned earlier in our conversation, self-care. Advocate is a form of self-care. It is self-care because you are, in a sense, you are taking control of your, when you advocate, you are taking control of your health journey. You are advocating for not only yourself, but you are advocating for those that don't have that voice, for those that are private, that want to keep their information, their health private, but you are speaking for them. You're speaking for yourself. That's why it is so important that we take, like you said, we got to take care of us before we can take care of everyone else.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so much more. Yes, self-care, get your nails done, get a massage, get your hair done. But it's so much more than that. It doesn't have to end at that surface level. Self-care is asking your doctor, like, hey, am I going to lose my right pinky toe or not? Like, what are we talking about here? Right. Uh-huh. Self-care is, you know, letting your friends and your family know, like, y'all, I'm sick. You know, self-care is being vulnerable. Self-care is allowing others to help you in realizing that you cannot face this world all by yourself. Eventually, you're going to have somebody, because the burden is too heavy.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that's where we come in. We want to help you. We're here for you.
Absolutely. And for those that are listening, this is why you have organizations like For the Breast of Us. That's why you have online platforms and podcasts such as my Tisha, Baddie to Baddie, and Tisha's Tea Room. That's why you have all these grassroots organizations that are now, and I'm so thankful that they are now servicing. There are so many resources, so many online support groups, so many in-person support groups that are in your area. Just there's that you can get that support. And that is a form of self-care. That is taking control of your health journey.
It is
so very important that you do that.
It is. Yes.
Well, yes. I want to thank you. Morgan, I can talk to you all day.
We have
this conversation all day. Yeah. I talk to you all day. I love it.
And I'm not mad at that, and I'm happy about that.
This Let's was talk a about wonderful, it. A wonderful conversation. I want to thank you, Morgan, for taking the time to come on this wonderful podcast, Baddie to Baddie, and just having this talk with us about, you know, healthcare advocacy, and just encouraging those that are listening, you know, you, just something as small as just sharing your story with your girlfriend, sharing it with your family.
Listen, I say this all the time, you know, and again, small acts, but I say this, if I help one person, that's enough.
Yes.
That's a change. That's my life will not have been in vain. I've helped someone. And again, small acts speak so much volume.
Yes.
And Tisha, I thank you for your work, your time. I thank you for having this conversation. And, you know, I'm here to spread awareness in young Black women. Mm-hmm. But awareness starts with exposure.
Yes.
And exposure starts with a conversation. Can we just have a conversation amongst sisters, amongst girlfriends? Can we just talk about it?
We sure did. And it was a wonderful conversation.
Yes.
Tell the audience that's listening, how can they connect with you?
Listen, Dr. Morgan Mitchell.
I'm connected. I don't know about you all, but I'm connected.
No, please do so. Please. I welcome connection. Even if you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, connect with me. You can catch me on social media platforms, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. You can email me. It's going to be morganmitchell395@gmail.com. And I'm sure we can put that, you know, in the chat or somewhere. I'm always available. I love sharing my testimony. I love speaking to my community. And you know, it's part of my divine purpose. You know, when I first got diagnosed, I really didn't understand why this was happening to me. Right. You feel like you're being punished, Tisha.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can.
Yeah. I felt the same
way. It's like, what did I do so bad to deserve this?
Yes.
And now that I'm on the other side, I can appreciate, like, okay, God, I can kind of see what you're doing now.
Yes.
You know, I'm pretty much the perfect person that this happened to. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to be silent about it. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And by God, you know, until I take my last breath, every young woman under the age of 40, especially African-American women, will understand the power of self-exams and mammograms. And they will be doing that before 40 against the national and federal health guidelines that say wait until 40. No. Black breast cancer is different. We're not waiting for anybody.
That's right.
We've already lived that life.
Exactly.
We're taking care of ourselves.
We're taking
self-care
charge.
Self-care and our people and our culture.
Yes.
And we're doing this at 30. That's what we're doing. And that and I'm here to spread that message. And so thank you so much, Tisha, and for the rest of us. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Morgan, you have been such a blessing. Thank you so very much. And for those that are listening, I hope that you enjoyed this chat, because I know I have. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in, and make sure that you like and subscribe to Baddie on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever you listen to your favorite podcast. And also check my platform out, Tisha's Tea Room, the place where conversations conquer cancer, on YouTube channel, on YouTube, and as well as my social media on Facebook and on Instagram. That's Tisha's Tea Room. So again, thank you everyone for listening. Morgan, thank you so very much. We will talk soon.
Thank you for having me.
And peace and blessings and love to you.
Yes, yes, Miss Tisha. Thank you so much. Thank you.
This is another Baddie creation brought to you by For the Rest of Us. Don't forget to subscribe to Baddie to Baddie wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at For the Rest of Us, on Twitter at The Breast of Us, and check us out online at breastofus.com. Thanks for listening.